Well, hello, Westwood family. It's awesome to be with you today. My name's Ben, Pastor Ben. Honored to be on the teaching team. And today, hey, I'm just going to tell you right up front, it's going to be a short message. It might feel long, but it's going to be short because we're doing a lot of baptisms today. And so we're going to keep it tight. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Put a thumb there. That's the passage we're going to be walking through. We're actually going to walk through that a little bit today. But then also coming back January 4th, we're starting a Hebrews series and in the new year, and I'm going to be back and walk through this passage with a whole nother level of depth. So today, I just want to pull one piece out of this passage, and then we'll come back and do a much deeper dive on it. And today, what I want to pull out is, how do we hear from God? But no small question. But how do we hear from God? So maybe you're here today and you've been asking that question or crying out to God, God, I just want to hear your voice. Well, we're going to talk about that and how we hear from God. And here's the outline so you can track it and make sure that I'm in line, especially with the short timer today. And I'm going to share with you two reasons that we don't hear, maybe why we don't hear from God. One key to hearing from God, and then a message from God that is for all of us. So that's the outline today. I'm going to dive right into it. So one of the reasons that we may not be hearing from God is this. It's hard to hear God's voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. Isn't that the truth? It's hard to hear his voice when you've already decided what you want him to say. Hey, I don't know if this has ever happened to anybody else, but every once in a while, I open the fridge to look for something, and I know what I'm looking for, and I cannot find it. And then I look in every cupboard, and then I look in the drawers, and then I look in the car in case it was left there. And then I ask my wife, and you know, this is amazing. It's like a miracle happens, because she opens the fridge, and it's sitting right there. Has this happened to anybody else? Husbands, especially? Yeah, and I've been thinking about, why does this happen? And I think the reason is because I have in my mind a picture of this item and exactly how I should see it when I look. And when I look and don't see the exact image I'm looking for, I'm like, it doesn't exist. That's the only thing I can think. But I wonder, do we do the same thing in our approach to God? God, I'm crying out for an answer. And God is answering. God is speaking. God does speak, but we aren't seeing him answer the way we want him to, in the timing we want him to, in the mode we want him to. And so we're like, God, I don't even think you're speaking. I don't think you heard me. But God does speak. And it's amazing to me that we do that because somehow we think that we're wiser than God. Can we just admit from day one here, step one, that God is infinitely wiser than we are? I mean, it's the equivalent of a five-year-old logic versus ours. Like, have you ever been around a five-year-old who's like, hey, I want a cookie? And you say, you're like, hey, actually, let me back up. They say, hey, can I have a cookie? And you say, no. And they say, but I want it. And in their mind, the logic of I want it is plenty of reason for you to give it to them, right? My son, actually, my oldest, when he was younger, he learned a little trick. Instead of asking me if he could have a cookie, he started asking me if I wanted a cookie. And then he would come back with one for me and one for him. This also works on my wife. So, hey, do you want a cookie, honey? Oh, sure. All right, one for you, one for me. I want it is not enough of a reason. Five-year-old logic. We also, hey, think about getting older, 16-year-old logic. I want the car. I want to drive and see my friends. Oh, but you've got this homework. Oh, you have these chores. Oh, you haven't done this responsibility. Hey, do you remember recently what happened with the car and it wasn't a good thing? Yeah, but I want it. Which just the want becomes the thing. I had an experience with my son once, and this is years ago, where I was driving his car, and I went to a meeting, and I came back from the meeting, and I looked at the bumper as I'm walking back from the meeting, and I was like, there is a hole in the bumper of this car. And so I texted him a picture of it, and he goes, oh, Dad, I've been meaning to talk to you about that. Like, funny how he forgets that, but when he wants it now, and he wants it on his terms. And isn't that the same way that we approach God? And we might look back at our 5-year-old selves or our 16-year-old selves and say, hey, that logic, clearly I have more wisdom now than I understand that want, really with a larger picture, isn't the best thing for me. But can we trust God's infinite wisdom that maybe the way we want it and what we want is not what's best? Tim Keller, I love this quote for him. God answers our prayers the same way we would if we knew what he knew. Isn't that, just think about that again. God answers our prayers the same way that we would if we knew what he knew. I mean, maybe one of the reasons we're not hearing God's voice is because we've already decided what we want him to say and we're not listening. Here's a second reason we may not be hearing God's voice. This comes from Isaiah 59, verse 2. This will not be on the slides. So if Isaiah 59, verse 2 says this, "But your iniquities," he's speaking to the nation of Israel, "your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." You're literally saying God is not hearing you to the nation of Israel because of your sin and iniquity. Now, sin, by its very nature, separates. Right? If I walked up to you and you had your hand out for a handshake and I slapped it away and punched you in the gut, you probably wouldn't be thinking, we're going to be great friends. Right? Sin, by its very nature, pushes us away. And those of us who have experienced sin of our own and the consequences of it, sin of others that has wounded us in many ways, we know it creates distance. That's what's amazing about the gospel of God is that Jesus, God with us, came in proximity to us while we were yet sinning. That's what's so powerful about Jesus is that he breaks into that. But our sin by its very nature separates us from God. So hear this, and this could be a whole message, but I'll just add this little point, is that the answer to proximity to God is not if I can just willpower myself to sin less, then I will hear more from him. Yeah, go ahead and try that. Today, I won't sin. Insert the sin, whatever it is. We'll just pick an easy one, complaining. I dare you to not complain for the next 24 hours. See how that goes. You're going to be driving out of the parking lot, and Pastor Joel's going to be driving in front of you, and you're going to be like, what is this car doing? Immediately, it will happen to you. Because we can't on our own willpower, but we can surrender, confess, ask the Lord, Lord, would you forgive? And that's what forgiveness does. Where sin separates, forgiveness brings healing and restoration. Now, again, there's a difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, but we can be forgiven, we can forgive. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later. But sin by its nature separates. So maybe one reason we're not hearing from God is we've created, there is so much noise in our world, the very sin of our lives, the very things that distance us from him are keeping us from hearing his voice. So if those are two things that might be why you're not hearing from him, let's talk about the key to hearing God's voice. And that's our key passage today, which is Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us. We have heard his voice by his son. And who is his son? Jesus, right, Sunday school answer, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him also he made the universe. Again, I'm going to come back and talk about that in a couple weeks. But how do we hear from God? He's saying in the past, he spoke through prophets, he spoke through a burning bush, he spoke through miracles, and he all these amazing things of prophet after prophet saying, this is what's coming, and he's saying today he speaks through Jesus. You could look at this as if the whole Bible, because it is just chapter after chapter building towards the progressive, ultimate, climactic moment of Jesus is here. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, spoken. God speaks to us. So if you've been crying out to God, this actually has quite literally happened to me, where I remember one time where I was crying out to the Lord, like, Lord, I just want to hear from you. Lord, would you just give me a sign? Would you just speak? And just give me your words. And as I was praying that, I looked at the end table and my Bible was sitting there open like this and I had not once looked at it. I mean, just think about this. God, would you speak? I've got 3,000 plus pages right here. And I didn't even look at them. God speaks through Jesus. God speaks through his word. And I don't just mean like, hey, let's flip it open. What do you got for me today? mean, that's like going to the gym once a year and being like, yeah, I'm feeling in shape. It's the continual moving in and living in and soaking in God's word. And you know what happens when we do that? When we're in his word every day, we start to recognize and resonate with his voice. So when God still, who does still speak through circumstances, through nature, through his word, through so many different ways, how will we know? Is that God speaking to me or is that I just had bad pizza last night? How will we know? We weigh it against his word. We're familiar with his voice because we're constantly and consistently soaking in it and walking with it. We are in his word. See, what happens is we make ourselves the center instead of seeing Jesus as the center. Look again at Hebrews 1. In very and various ways, but these last days he has spoken to us through his son. We need to reorientate. Is that the word? Be reoriented. Man, I keep messing up my English there. We need to be reoriented so that Jesus is at the center, not ourselves. I sometimes think about this as the difference between a dog mentality and a cat mentality. How many of you are cat people? All right, I see you. I see you. Now, I'm going to ask again. How many of you are really cat people? And now this time you have to admit it, and last time you didn't want to. Yeah, there's always a few more hands that go up. Yes, and usually it's a husband's hand. I know. How many of you are dog people? Okay. Oh, there's a few, quite a few. All right. Now, what is, and this is very generalization, but what is the biggest difference in living with a dog versus a cat mentality versus a dog mentality? Is that a dog's mentality in their world, you are the center. Everything is about you. I love you. I miss you. I want to be with you. And in a cat's world, you exist to serve them. Am I right? And I think often in our walk with God, we do the same thing. But just for fun, I got an image to share with you. This is a picture of my daughter-in-law sent us of her. She's centering herself on the word. And I don't know if you can see it, but in the tree, someone else is trying to take the center. So go ahead and zoom in here. There it is. That's their cat, Honey. And I just think that's a great example of taking center stage. This is about Jesus. No, it's about the cat. But isn't that what we do, is we make ourselves the center? So if you're wanting to hear God's voice, step one and the key is to be reoriented to Jesus at the center, not you at the center. Lord, instead of me, my want, give me, tell me, Lord, I want to know more about you. I want to learn more about you. I want to understand what your will and ways are. I want to be more attentive to you. And you know what will happen? You're going to hear more of his voice. You're going to see more of the direction that he has for you. You are going to hear from the Lord and his direction. Now, it's amazing to me how, I'll just put it this way, and I'm watching the time. We know Jesus and all that he fulfilled, the cross and the empty grave. When he was born, Mary was holding this little baby. She had no idea what was going to be. Can you just imagine that moment? Like, if you've been in the room holding the baby, I remember holding my oldest after he was born, just like the miracle of like, here is your human. Oh, okay. Holding him, looking at him, and we didn't have a name for him yet. We had a couple of them. We weren't sure. So I started asking him. I'm like, Hey, buddy, what should we name you? I'd be like, put your arm in the air if you like this name. And I said a name. He didn't do anything. I said another one. He didn't do anything. And then I said Nathaniel. And his little arm shot straight up in the air. And I was like, oh, well, your name is Nathaniel. And Nathaniel means gift from God. And so that became our prayer for him. Like all our kids, through their name, we prayed for him that he would be a gift from God. And he is. The kid is, he's amazing. I mean, a young man now who's a gift from God. And that's our little moment. Can you imagine Mary, who's like all the prophets, this progressively leading to this moment, holding him, angels like out proclaiming his birth, virgin birth, looking at him saying, and what is this going to mean? Who are you? All the potential of that. And if you are looking for a sign from God, don't miss this. Let this be a sign to you that the virgin will give birth. Jesus is the sign. And from that, we see everything else. So weigh, when you're wondering about this or that voice, or is this the Lord, weigh it against him and his word and his truth, with him at the center and not you at the center. And here's the thing about the Old Testament: the prophets speak, and we've got the priestly system. I'd just like to give you a very simple definition of prophets and priests. Prophets speak to people for God. Priests speak to God for people. So Jesus comes, and everything up to this point has been about our distance from God. Sin has separated us. The temple system, the way that the whole hierarchy of things worked was, hey, sin has separated you from God. And prophets spoke, and priests speak, and then you were over here separated. And now Jesus comes. He is the ultimate prophet speaking to us for God. He's the ultimate priest speaking to God for us. And he opened the door for us. Remember, the scripture says we are the priesthood of all believers. Because of Jesus, he's opened the doors for us to speak to God. The book of Joel says, and in the last days, his Holy Spirit will be poured out and prophets will speak on behalf of God to all people. Because of Jesus, we get to hear God's voice and recognize his voice because we recognize our Savior, Jesus. So, two reasons you might not be hearing. One key to hearing God's voice and weighing that. And then lastly, I just want to share with you a message that is from Jesus to all of us. So this is clear for all of us, and I'll put it this way. The miracle message of Jesus, and I'm paraphrasing some things from Scripture into these four statements. The message of Jesus with us is this: I see you, I forgive you, I am with you, and I love you. And I don't know where you're at, but I guarantee that we all need to hear this message, and it is a gift to pass on this message to others. I see you, I forgive you, I am with you, I love you. Each one of these could be a sermon to itself, but let me just break it down this way. I see you. Don't you just want to be seen? Don't we all want to be seen? To be remembered, to be known? I was at an event earlier this week where we ran around the table and everybody said, hey, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you doing? One person says a 7 and then breaks that down. Another person says an 8 and then breaks it down. And then this girl shared her, she just goes, I'm actually probably a 2 right now. And with tears in her eyes, shares with us all these things happening in her world. And this is a moment, like she's hurting, she's in pain. And then the next person, she finishes and she just goes, okay, I'm an 8 and let me tell you about my life. And it was just like, my heart just ached for her. The whole rest of the time I was watching this conversation and she still got tears in her eyes and probably felt even more ignored because the conversation just moved on. What Jesus' presence with us says is God sees you, even if no one else does. He knows. And that is a gift this Christmas that we can give others, is to say, I see you. One of the things I've told you before, I used to be a terrible gift giver, but now I work at it. One of my things is I try to give people, especially my wife, gifts that she wants but doesn't know she wants. And if I can check that box, man, so for a while it was the best cup of coffee in the world, and then it was the best night's sleep, and I'm not telling you what this year's is, but I know she's going to like it. Says, I see you, to pay attention enough to speak. And that is part of speaking the gospel to others. I forgive you. Man, this is a gift you can give others, but it will also be a gift to you. To say I forgive you, maybe you've heard this quote before, unforgiveness is the poison you take thinking it will kill somebody else. Hey, this holiday is an opportunity to remember you've been forgiven, confess, Lord, daily I need your forgiveness, and to forgive others. And I'm telling you, that is a gift. And I know it's hard. I've lived this myself, but it is a gift to you and it is a gift to them. Thirdly, I am with you. God with us, Emmanuel. Literally, he's with us. The promise of heaven eternal is that God walks again with us. That distance is no longer there. That separation is broken. And we can say that to others. Sometimes we don't know how to answer when somebody shares with us a hardship or hard situation. We want to solve it. Have you been in that situation where you share something and they just go, well, here's what you need to do. It's like, I actually didn't need to hear what I need to do. I don't know how to solve this. I just need to know that I'm not alone in this. And sometimes that's all we need to do is just say, I am with you. And then I love you. And I know American, I love you means so many things. I love tacos and I love my wife. But say, I love you is to say, I sacrifice for you. I lay down of myself for you. I put your needs above my needs. This is what Jesus has done for us. This is what the cross and the empty grave is about. So receive the greatest gift from Jesus, and you can also share these greatest gifts. I see you, I forgive you, I'm with you, and I love you. So in summary, two reasons you might not be hearing. One key to hearing, and there, as I just shared, is the message that we of Jesus that we can share and echo to others. So with that, I want to draw you to prayer. This might have felt like a long message. It was actually a short one, but we're going to pray. We're going to pray. Lord, thank you for seeing us, forgiving us, being with us, and loving us. And Lord, would you help reorient our hearts and our lives around you? Fix our eyes on you, Lord, and in that may we find the delight of our hearts. May we find contentment and joy and the fullness of your presence, Lord. May we hear your voice, and may we be familiar enough with your word to recognize it. I pray this, Jesus, in your name and for your glory alone. Amen.